And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive, off and running here on this Wednesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, the Constable, with you for the next 4 hours on a busy, busy morning. So much to get to. How we doing, boys?
Nick, you and I are doing great, it sounds like.
We're doing wonderful.
Constable looks wonderful. Smashing this morning, sir.
You know, okay. Each one of us, when we, it's like the, what would we call them? The, I don't know, Chronicles of the Morning Show. Because each one of us, we always have, like the other day, you brought in your two pink slips. You had something happen in the morning. It wasn't the morning of a show, but it happened the day before a show in the morning.
The struggle's real.
Yeah, the struggle is real in the morning.
I was telling Nick this yesterday. We haven't talked about this yet. I almost committed homicide on an Amazon driver the other day.
See? and that's what I'm...
I think it's illegal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
For me to kill people.
Yes.
That would have gotten you a few days off, though.
Where did that Triton come from?
I'm going to sit a few plays out.
I think you need to go hide. Chase goes through his things at times in the morning, and, you know, we all come in here. Even Jared, I don't think Jared went through anything anymore. I don't think he goes through anything anymore. He just gets up happy and just...
Do you have to feed a pig, Jared, before you leave every morning? Like, do you have to feed the pig that you have, your pet pig?
do you
every morning?
He does.
Okay.
So he confirms. He does.
What do you feed the pig?
Is the pig up and moving at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning?
What is it? Pig food? What do you call it? Because dog food is dog food. Cat food is cat food. Is it pig food?
Pigs are very active at 5 in the morning.
He eats peas.
Oh, peas.
Oh, pellets. I'm sorry, pellets.
I was going to say he's a vegetarian like Derek.
Because pigs basically will eat basically anything.
Yeah, whatever you set out, they'll eat it. All right, so.
Okay, so the pig problem.
So this is another chronicle, and you know, in the days of, what do we call it? The days of the morning drive, whatever.
The Diary of Morning Drive.
Yeah, Diary of Morning Drive. So. Yesterday,
dear diary.
It was, dear diary, yesterday, it was nice and sunny. So I decided to pull my car out of the driveway because I hadn't driven it in a while. So I pulled it out of the driveway and park it in the corner of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get some things out of the trunk, and it was bright and sunny outside. So I figured I'd use the light of the sun to look in my trunk. Upon looking in my trunk.
Get your junk?
Yeah, to get my junk in the trunk.
I like this melodious tone.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Upon looking in my trunk, I decided to close my trunk and leave my car in the driveway. Why? Because it was nice and sunny, and my car needed some sun.
Oh, it did.
It needed to tan a little bit.
Most $80,000 vehicles need that.
I was going to say, is the interior black?
Yeah. So I said, self.
Put that thing in the garage.
Self, remember, when you leave in the morning, remember that your car is right behind you, okay? I said, self, you are absolutely right. I am going to remember that.
Was there a mirror involved?
You got it, dude.
Fast forward to this morning. La, 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 let the dogs out. La, 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 get my coffee. La, 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 la.
4:42 a.m.
Yeah, grab my bag. La, 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 hop in the car. Push the button, turn the music slightly up. Not all the way up, slightly up, because it was 90s, like 80s rap, so I was into it early in the morning.
So was it turned up or turned up?
It was turned, because turned is a different thing.
Yeah, sure. And turned would be like the 80s.
Exactly.
Turned would be like something that came out 10 years ago.
It's like turned, that was like, was bumping.
Turned down,
you know,
for what?
Yeah, so it was slightly turned up.
Chase is shaking his head back there.
Number one, it's fourth down for what?
For the Vols, it's always fourth down.
It was slightly turned up, so I proceeded to put the car in reverse.
Uh-oh. There's your first problem.
And my first problem was I neglected to look behind me, and I neglected to look. And this is why they put the cameras right there. So when you put your car in reverse, it shows whatever's behind you.
I love
whatever.
That. Dude, once you go camera, you never go back.
Well, actually, you do, because it makes it easier to go back.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm serious. I was buying the new car. I was like, I've got to get a camera.
Yeah, because once you go camera, you don't go.
Hey, once you film it, I mean, you know, it just feels different when you're not filming. So.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a reach.
You what?
But I enjoyed it.
So I put the car in reverse, and I proceed to go backwards. Doom, 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 doom.
Wait.
Oh,
that?
Damn.
One more time. So you.
Oh, damn.
So you live in a house by yourself.
Yes.
And you have multiple vehicles.
I have two girls living with me.
And you got into.
I'm sorry?
Two girls living with me. It's myself and two girls.
What, okay.
My two dogs.
Oh, Ginger and Lexi.
Ginger and Lexi, yes.
Yeah. So
me and four ladies.
So you live alone and uh-huh. have multiple vehicles uh-huh. and got into a car accident with yourself on your own property.
Absolutely. How do you explain that to the insurance company, if you had to.
I don't think you do.
No, you don't?
Well, I mean, I think you just say...
I got into an accident.
Somebody drove through my gated community, up onto my driveway, and hit my car, and then drove off.
And then left. left wait, no evidence.
Mr. Mason, wait a second. Someone drove into the gated community and up onto your driveway, hit your car, and didn't leave their insurance information?
And then when the cops show up to arrest Nick Kale, it'll be really funny radio.
100%.
So I...
They don't let Nick and I into that neighborhood.
No.
So I backed into my car this morning.
Hmm. It's a good start to your day.
Yeah. But no, silver lining is when something like that happens, first thing you do is you sit there. You don't immediately get out. You sit there. And then you wonder in your mind, wow, how bad is this? And how am I going to explain this? So I get out.
To anyone in the
world.
Yeah,
exactly. So I get out, and I look behind the car, and I'm like, whew, no damage. Then I look at the other car. I'm like, whew, no damage. So I got away scot clean. No scratches, no nothing, because.
Scot free.
I said scot clean.
Too.
Yeah, just clean, free. Whatever, you know. So I wiped the car down a little bit, made sure it wasn't no scratches. I'm like, whew, I made it. And I took off.
Coming up in the first commercial break, we will have you walk and chew bubblegum.
Yeah. And then when I got out the car to come into the studio, I had to look again because the light's better. And it was like, whew, nothing. But I was going maybe 1 mile per hour. Mm-hmm. And if your car messes up when you hit someone else going 1 mile per hour, then you need not have that car.
Sounds like you need neither car then.
Yeah, because
sounds
the
like
impact
we'll take
is
both of them away
impacts
from you.
Typically, if you hit it in a certain place, you could like 10 miles per hour, it shouldn't damage it. Maybe some scratches,
so
but that's it.
Did you just not look at the backup camera?
I didn't, man. I just.
You've got like a 22-inch television screen in that.
I know. I just didn't. Right. I don't know what I was thinking, man. I just put that sucker in reverse.
Just burn.
And I'm glad I didn't like, whoom. I'm glad I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I just went back in the house and went to sleep, man.
I mean, everybody's.
I'd have cried.
Everybody's probably gotten into a fender bender in a parking lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's. I mean, it's your own personal parking lot, your driveway, yeah. right?
Yeah, no, but you don't typically hit yourself.
No, right? Not normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the old joke like back in the 80s? Man, you're so stupid you hit a parked car.
Well, I hit a parked car.
Your mom is so dumb she hit a parked car.
Yeah, but this is like a next
level. That happened to Derek Mason.
This is next level. It's like
your own parked car
in your own driveway.
Knowing that it was in your driveway.
Because it's your driveway.
After reminding yourself, self, mm-hmm. my car's back there.
Exactly.
I need to remember that.
So tell me this. Why do they call a driveway? In a sidewalk. I mean, no, a driveway.
Ooh, where are we going with
this? Let's reel this one more time.
Why do they call a driveway? Because you don't drive on a driveway.
Technically, you do.
Well, you park on a driveway.
My grandmother back in the day used to call it a parking pad.
That's what it is. That's what it's supposed to be, a parking pad. They call it parking pads now.
But I have a driveway and a parking pad. So I drive on my driveway to get to one of my two parking pads.
But you're not driving.
I have two parking pads.
Listen, but technically... It should just be a parking pad because you do drive away and you do drive in.
I think the actual parking pad is like a square where you can fit a car.
And it's actually, I'm not even kidding, my parking pad is different concrete because it's been polished differently and has footers poured for a foundation so we can build a carport on top of it. And the driveway is just like a slab of cement that you drive on.
It should just be a place you walk on the side. It should be just a parkway.
With a cigarette and a cup of tea and what else was it? And a tool belt?
She was wearing, this is the woman walking through my neighborhood at like 10 a.m. in the morning. She had a lit cigarette while holding a teacup wearing a fur coat and some Chuck Taylors and her what looked
East Nashville
what amounted to her purse, I guess, or maybe she was doing housework. I don't know.
No, she's bringing the funk back.
A DeWalt tool bag.
East Nashville.
Mini DeWalt tool bag. I'm assuming she had either tools in it and or was using it as a purse.
There you go.
That was what I saw.
She had some tools in it. You don't know what those tools were.
I don't even get the joke.
Tools? You don't know what the tools were.
What? I still don't get the joke, Derek. If you say it again, I'm not going to get it again.
Man, goodness.
Just go repark your car.
Man.
Right. I hate you.
When we come back, it was really a big-time night last night, both on the hoops front and the hockey front. We will get to Belmont. We will get to the Preds. Busy morning. A lot of good content today. Beyond Parking Wars. That's next here on Morning Drive. We are live this morning from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet.
Want more choices and flexibility when it comes to parking? Don't talk to Derek Mason. But when it comes to entertainment, you talk to Xfinity. Well, we got news for you. Xfinity lets you choose a package with crazy fast internet speeds and types of channels that you want. That's right. Xfinity now lets you choose a package that's right for you. You got to have the right package. So choose a little or choose a lot. Love sports? What about just choosing kids' channels? That's basically what happens at my house. You can even get access to streaming apps like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video. Whatever you want, Xfinity has you covered. Get more of what you want and less of what you don't with Xfinity. That's what all of us want. Now, that's simple, easy, and awesome. For a limited time, get started with Xfinity Internet and TV starting at $39.99 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. And get your choice of Stars or Showtime included for a year. Plus, customize your experience by adding flexible channel packages. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. It requires eco bill and auto pay. Offer ends tomorrow, 3/21/19. Restrictions apply. New Internet Plus Instant TV customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV, fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. It ends tomorrow. So go to Xfinity.com right now today.
6:15, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on this Wednesday. Busy night last night, both locally and nationally. The Predators here in Nashville defeat the Maple Leafs 3-0, and Rick Bird and Belmont take care of Temple in the first four, 81-70. So, gentlemen, let's get into both games. Let's actually start with the hoops, because this could be one of those feel-good stories.
Yeah, and I thought about this as the game was getting started. I was the wife had the get-together with her friends last night, so she leaves the house, and I'm ready to go, right? I'm like, all right, I got the TVs. I'm all set up. I got the Preds going on one TV. I'm going to be watching Belmont. Like, I was genuinely fired up about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but there's something unique about a city rooting for a team in a tournament game. Am I wrong that there's, like, this... It's just a unique phenomenon in sports. I'm sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it happens in other walks of life. Like, we're all the Preds are different, right? It's a pro sports team. They're a big name. They've been to the finals. Mm-hmm. They can win a championship as much as anybody else. They're, you know, everybody roots for them, whatever. But there's something different about when your local squad gets into the NCAA tournament, and it just is a cool phenomenon. I don't know about you guys, but I was like genuinely like cheering for Belmont, rooting for Belmont, excited to watch the game. I was into it.
You're not wrong.
I was anticipating the game. I couldn't wait. That first game between Prairie View and what was it?
Fairleigh Dickerson.
That game couldn't be over fast enough.
That's a street, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
They're all bad British authors from the 1800s.
Man. Even though it was a good game, I couldn't wait for it to be over with and to see Belmont play. Because I hadn't watched, I've maybe seen them maybe a few times this year. They're a good team. Coach really well. And they prove that the combination, the type of basketball they play is capable of winning another game or two. Because it's up-tempo, they play good defense, they got a big in the middle that's a freshman, he has a low post game, but yet still he's a good passer, and they have three or four shooters that once they get going, it's hard to defend them. So that style of basketball, it plays well in the tournament because you're playing teams that has never played you, don't understand you, and don't know your tendencies.
Yeah, I don't think Maryland has scouted Belmont a lot.
Not like that, yeah.
Until last night.
Exactly. So this is a team that has the ability to win, you know, a game or two in the tournament.
Is there anything else you guys can think of that sort of, I don't know, like, maybe Joseph Newgarden, not that this is a mainstream name, but like Joseph Newgarden wins a championship in his sport. He's a Nashvillian. It's racing. I don't know how much people care about racing, but like I'm just trying to come up with something else that is similar, because I remember when Belmont as a 15 seed almost beat Duke as a 2 seed, and like the whole city was every bar.
Like, what if Snedeker wins like a?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay,
that's
what if he wins
one.
Like a championship or something?
Yeah, that's a great call. If he like he's. Because he loves the Masters are like is his baby, right? The Masters is what matters to him the most, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself. And it's coming up, right? He played well, Nick. You were showing me scores.
Yeah,
from
he
Snedeker.
Played well last weekend in Florida.
So he plays. He's starting to play good golf. I think that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great one. If Snedeker won the Masters, I think we would be as a city, we would all rally behind on a Sunday afternoon if he's in the final group like he's been before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great thing where we're like, oh, it doesn't matter what team you're rooting for or where you're from or what your favorite sport is, you're sort of checked into that and you're going, man, I hope Brandt wins. That I just think that's kind of unique, and I thought last night it felt a lot like the entire city was behind Belmont. I think that's cool.
Easy to get behind them just because they're a small program and they're an underdog. Like, nobody seems to hate the underdog.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
also the coach,
the head coach. I mean, it's even his interview going into half. He
blamed himself.
Yeah, he
for their
blamed
shots.
Himself. You know, he gave kudos to to Temple. You know, and it was just he was one of those coaches that you can't help but root for.
He goes,
you don't want to root against.
I got to get these guys better shots. I'm like, what? Are you out there running the point, coach? I mean, I know you're a great tennis player, but come on. I mean, listen, he's been around forever. It couldn't happen. Even on our interview with him yesterday, he's like, well. You know, maybe losing to Murray State actually helped us.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
They got a chance to sit back and watch.
Well, and people were talking about him for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It elevated their brand, right? Like, people were talking. People know who Belmont is now a little bit more nationally.
Yep.
And I think a lot of it probably is the fact that Brandt Snedeker, for example, is one of the nicest human beings ever. And Rick Bird, one of the nicest human beings ever. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is more to it than just local. But it's not just the small school thing. I think that's part of it. But you know, Rick Bird is a guy that everybody likes and wants to see do well. And I think after all these years of seeing him do it as an at-large, it's just different as an at-large, right? Mm-hmm. If you win the SoCon or the OVC and you do it as a 15 seed and you go in and you get beat by whoever, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. When you're an at-large and you've earned it by merit and you're there and you win a game.
Oh, it's huge.
It's awesome, man. It's great. Congratulations, Belmont.
Yep. Yeah. Lifetime now 1-7, but you got that elusive win. We will get deeper into Belmont in the next segment, but also last night the Predators with a big 3-0 win over the Maple Leafs. And don't look now, but the Nashville Predators have now won 3 in a row, and it was the newcomers, the new guys, the big bodies putting the puck in the net last night, both Wayne Simmons and Brian Boyle.
Yeah, that Boyle trade looks better and better every single game that goes
tremendous.
By. That was a value trade for David Poile. You could see the relief on Wayne Simmons' face, I believe, last night when he scored. He looked like he was at a major party and just having a great time. So good to see him sort of break through. Arvidsson took a puck off the knee. That looked a little scary early. Pekka was absolutely fantastic. And you know, listen, they're playing up to the competition. I still am at the point where, okay, 5 out of 7, 3 in a row, do it again. Do it again. You guys are going to get annoyed by the fact that I'm going to continue to say, do it again for the rest.
No, we just get annoyed by everything else.
Just keep it going with Pittsburgh and Winnipeg.
Just do it again.
This is a killer stretch.
Do it again. Like, you've built on something, right?
Yep.
You don't get to say we found something. You don't get to say, hey, this could be a breakthrough. No, do it again. Do it again, and then do it again after that. And so you got to keep – this is the whole point of the tough schedule we talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like – you're going to play tough teams. We're gonna learn all together whether or not this team is capable. They are clearly capable.
Well, I don't think that was ever a concern, well, at least with me, that they were not capable of winning games or going on a streak. It's just they were not doing it. For whatever reason, it wasn't coming together as a team for long periods of time. Now, it had come together for 3 games, 2 games, three games, two games. But then, you know, they win three, they lose three. Or they win two, they lose three. And it was just the inconsistencies of their play. So it was never, with me at least, a point where I thought, man, this team can't do it. It was, man, this team's not playing consistent. So do you trust them, you know, that they can go out and get the job done mm-hmm. in the playoffs? So now, I mean, great win last night. Great job by Pekka. Now it's almost like, okay, how many more games we get into the playoffs? I mean, when does this thing start? I know they have some games left, and I know you want to roll into the playoffs, you know, on a high note, but, man, let's get this thing started. I, as a fan, and as, you know, us covering a team, we can say that. They can't. Yep. You know, they still have games in front of them because they still are in the hunt to win, you know, their conference.
Well, and they still have things to work
with
out.
With their division.
They
yeah.
still got to work stuff out. And if they did in fact click it into place and figure something out against LA and then San Jose and now Toronto, if they have in fact done that, which I'm not saying they have because I need to see more of it, right? Mm-hmm. If that has in fact happened, they waited till the last possible second to do it.
The 25th hour.
there is still time because there's still eight games left. That's still plenty of hockey to continue to find yourself. Tourist back on the ice. I don't necessarily evaluate last night as a good performance by him. I thought he was active. I thought he was around the puck, and I thought that was a good thing to see Kyle Tourist doing that. But defense was great again. Their record right now against the top six teams in the Eastern Conference is 9-1.
Oh, they own them.
They have not played Pittsburgh yet. Obviously, mm-hmm. they have two games left with Pittsburgh. But the top six teams, they went 9-1. They swept the Islanders. They swept the Lightning, by the way. Pekka, two wins against the Lightning. They split with Boston. They swept the Capitals. So it is – they have – if they get there and it's not Pittsburgh, they've got a legit chance to win the whole thing. It's,
for sure.
It's getting there that's going to be the tough thing because they've been great against the best teams in the Eastern Conference this year.
The last – we really need to mention this because mm-hmm. we killed this team for their power play deficiencies. The last 10 games going into the game last night – they were 8-33 on the power play. That is 24% going into the Toronto game. So that's, what, about an eighth of a season where you're playing above the typical threshold of, what, roughly 20% on the power play?
Well, and they were at 12 for most of the year. So that's twice yeah. as good as they were in the past. I'd still like to see more.
Sure.
But I think that you see, again, you're starting to see signs of life. I'm just not ready to say, oh, they've solved their problems. This team is going to be good.
Because just when you say that,
right,
they lose two games.
And we've seen it before. They've played 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 games of good hockey, and then they don't. And mm-hmm. so I'm not willing to say that they've definitively done anything. It's, all right, great job. Go do it again. Go do it again tomorrow mm-hmm. night against Pittsburgh. To your point, do it again, especially against Winnipeg.
Coming up next, we'll get back to the Belmont game last night. I think Belmont accomplished something more than just a victory over Temple, but also a question to pose regarding the structure of this tournament. We'll get into that when we come back. It's Morning Drive here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
And this is what I want to get into. As I do most mornings, well, heck, Monday through Friday, I'm trying to convince my men of Nashville and the surrounding areas to go visit my friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have sought help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. And men, we need a better quality of life as we start to get a little older. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, and cognitive functions. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life, and we could use a healthy life and more enriched life, fellas. So, and there's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on? The missus is nudging on you, telling you to call. So pick up that cell phone and do this, fellas. Look at that keypad and type in 615-660. Yep, 6900. 615-660-6900. Or if you don't want to call, you're too scared to call, being a chicken, visit the website at www.coolspringsmd.com.
Welcome back in Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on this Wednesday. So let's get back to the Belmont story. Fascinating story. Congrats to the Bruins. Congrats to the team, the fans, the alums, Rick Bird. Really good win against my alma mater last night. And Temple, by the way, you will not receive a payment this month for my student loans. Appreciate you coming up small.
You didn't have – there was no, like – single tear that rolled down your cheek when
Temple
lost?
Oh, God, no.
Really?
No, I want – I'm glad –
how many people have that type of relationship with their
– I'm glad Dunphy's out. Been a very underwhelming stretch of never doing anything in the tournament.
Man.
Teammates, you know. We were talking about it before the show.
Hasn't he been to the tournament as many times?
Well, he hadn't won. He's only won three tournament games. Been, what, 17 times, 16, 17 times, and only won three?
It's like the equivalent of the Titans continually making the playoffs but never making a run.
Is it because
Yeah, got a point there.
Is it because John Chaney set the bar so high at Temple? Because it's not like they're a Power Five program.
Yeah, but they never really made a ton of deep runs. Even when Chaney was there, like they had a couple
one
of
with
little
Marcus,
pockets.
A
of
few
success.
With Marcus Camby and
UMass.
Marcus. I don't know why I always think Marcus Camby.
You thinking about Mark Macon?
Yes, and they went on that run. What didn't they get to the final four?
I want to say that was like late '80s, early '90s. Eddie Jones.
Uh huh. They went to the was it the Final Four or Elite Eight with that team?
Marcus Camby.
I think Elite Eight.
Okay.
No, I've never heard someone speak so.
I mean, I would have been fine either way if Temple won or Belmont won. To me, it would have been a good story regardless because of the coaches mostly.
Right, and so, but would you? But you would not have like poured at yourself a Tito's and said, "All right, my alma mater won a tournament game."
Probably not.
But that brings the question. Is this, should we, and I don't want to take, this is not to take anything away from Rick Bird or Belmont. Congratulations, you deserved it. Should we look at the first four as truly a tournament win?
I mean, I think that's probably up to the eye of the beholder, probably, right? Like, I give them credit for it, and when it's my local team that did it, I'm going to say yes. if it's, you know, when Tennessee did it, I think if you're a fan, you take it. I think if you're a fan, you take a tournament win no matter what it looks like, even if it's sort of like – even if it feels like it's a play-in game and the real tournament starts, quote-unquote real tournament starts on Thursday. I mean, as Rick Bird said in the interview, you know, if they played on Friday at 2 o'clock, you'd have four other games you could watch. You probably aren't going to watch the Belmont game. And so the whole country watched Belmont last night. So it was good for Belmont to be in that situation. So
I agree. I think you should view it as a tournament appearance. I think you should view it as a tournament win. If the sport wants to expand from 64 to 68, well, you're one of the 68 you won. Because a buddy of mine who went to Temple last night said, I don't even view this as a tournament game or a win. Mm-hmm. I'll view it as a win if Temple wins tonight and then beats Maryland in the opening of the tournament.
Right.
And I'm thinking like, well, so in baseball, when they expanded the two wild cards, do you not view your second wild card team as a playoff team?
You do, and I will. It's interesting you bring that up because like the Mets have been in playing games before the wild card even existed. And it's weird to feel like you have to play 162 games and then you get one game, which is what obviously leads to such incredible drama in those particular baseball games. But I guess you view it as getting into the playoffs. If I'm a fan of the Mets, if the Mets get into the playoffs and are in the wild card, then that's a playoff game. You're playing past everybody else in Major League Baseball, so I don't think there's any reason to take anything away from it. Now, we can all acknowledge that, like, hey, the real action starts on Thursday, and we're more excited about the big tournament starting on Thursday. I think we can do both, right? I think you can give credit for it being a playoff game in Major League Baseball or a tournament win and also say, yeah, but Thursday's when it really gets started. I can't wait for Thursday. I think we can have both things in our brains, right?
Yeah, you can. I mean, for those individual teams, it means the world because if they win, they're in. If not, then they don't even have an opportunity to play in the NIT, which, I mean, I don't know many teams that really want to, but it happens.
Congrats to Lipscomb.
Yeah. But, I mean, that first game, you typically – I like watching the first game, and I think it means something because you get the best. Those teams that usually play in those games are so evenly matched that you're going to get typically a good game. It's going to be, you know, a close game up until maybe 2 or 3 minutes left, and then you either get a lot of fouling or the team just going to run. Belmont just went on a run the last, I think, what, 5 minutes of the game, 6 minutes of the game, and kind of opened it up.
A lot of runs yesterday.
It was just back and forth. But typically you get good games. And that's what March Madness is about, is getting good games. Anything past the first round, I think you're going to get a good game. Typically, you know, if you got 1-16 playing or 2-15 or whatnot, those are typically blowouts for the most part. But then after that, the games start getting a little tighter.
It's very much a college football Saturday. You go into college football Saturday thinking, all right, here are the three or four big games that I'm going to watch. They may not be good games, but you're going to get a good game somewhere.
Exactly.
You don't know what game on Thursday or Friday is going to be the one that the entire country is talking about the next day, but you know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know there'll be a 14 or a 12 or a 13 that wins a game, pulls an upset. Last year we had a 16, and that's the one everyone was talking about. Nobody saw that coming, so... That's the beauty of the tournament. It doesn't matter what day you may get a bad third. Like, there's always a bad day here and there, right? Like, oh, Thursday, not a lot of upsets. It wasn't that fun. Blowouts. Well, you know you're going to get something good on Friday then, because the tournament always delivers something good.
You guys feeling Belmont over Maryland based off of last night?
Yeah, and I think that's the reason that if you look at how the committee, you know, set this thing up, you know, with certain games, because it has the potential to be an upset. Maryland and Belmont, if you follow Belmont and you follow Maryland, you know Belmont has just their chances of beating Maryland is just as good as anything else.
What's Vegas say about it?
I didn't see a spread. I'll try to find one. It might not come out until the day of.
But if you Constable, just, can you search for that? If degenerate back there?
But if you just look at the way Maryland plays and the way Belmont plays, two different styles. And if Belmont get going, I mean, that style can propel them to not just one first round victory. I count this now as the first round,
right,
rather than the playing game.
Now they
not
could,
one
they,
round here you go. First round, but the second round.
Maryland is a 4-point favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad at all.
Where do you degenerates like? You like Belmont with the four, or you like Maryland? What do you guys like?
I like the four. I think Belmont's going to win outright.
Yeah, I like the four, but I'm also going to stick to my bracket. I picked Maryland.
Did you pick Maryland?
And the only reason I picked them is because the whole world loves Belmont to win that game.
Well, it's a lot of we're on our Nashville bubble where we love Belmont, so we're rooting for Belmont. My concern though is LSU. If they have to match up with LSU in the following round, let's say they beat Maryland, huge win for the program. It'd be unbelievable to beat a Big Ten team in the NCAA tournament, win two games. I just don't see any. As much as I don't like where LSU is from a headspace standpoint, because no Will Wade. And the way they finished the SEC tournament, I just don't see a matchup where Belmont and LSU, like, it's such a one-sided matchup for LSU, right? From an athletic length, size, talent standpoint. I mean, who knows? Belmont could prove everybody wrong and win a couple more games, but I don't like the matchup with LSU.
I would love to see the freshman kid from Belmont, the center, go against Naz Reid.
You don't think Naz Reid would have a
no? Because both of them, they're both freshmen, and the kid from Belmont can play, man. His low post, he has a nice little, low post game, and maybe Naz Reid can shoot from the outside better than the guy from Belmont. But if you're saying okay, both of these guys got to play in the post, I don't know who I'm picking. I like them both. From what I've seen of the kid from Belmont, he has a low post game.
Is there any doubt, though, like if LSU would meet Belmont, the whole world would just be rooting for, like, here's the small little Christian school against a program that got caught on a wiretap by the FBI. Like, everybody's going to be in love with Belmont.
It writes itself, man.
Itself. The people that are cheering for LSU are those that are in Baton Rouge or somewhere in Louisiana. And then everybody else is like, you put up the map of the U.S. and you see, you know, Belmont colors everywhere, and you see this little small piece of gold, whatever that color is, purple and gold. What is it? Purple and gold.
Purple and gold.
Yeah.
Maryland just went through its own athletic department scandal where the president and the chancellor are under fire for having to quit and resign because of a bad culture. Now I know that was the football program, but still the athletic department was under fire. So. People are, you know, pointing fingers at Maryland, and you guys failed, and you guys didn't protect your athletes, and that could be the same type of thing where everyone's like, oh, the nicest guy in the history of college basketball, Rick Byrd, against you know, the Maryland athletic department, I think everybody knows what side of the coin they're going to fall on there.
Here's a question for you as somebody that does some national shows, talks to people that are on committees. Did Belmont change the narrative for mid-majors that only get the conference champion in? Because the committee said, we're going to put an at-large in from the OVC. Go out and reward us. Did they reward the committee, and does that change anything moving forward, or is it always resume case by case, year by year?
I think it's a lot of case by case, year by year, unfortunately. I think we want to try to pull trends from this, right? I think we want to try to see and try to understand the committee more. Just like in football, we want to try to understand the committee more, but I think it's so much more individual, year by year, case by case. Now, I have sort of come around. I used to be a very hardcore Power Five truther. Like, Clemson, even though they're 9-9 in the ACC, is a better, quote unquote, better basketball team than Belmont. They would probably beat them 20 out of 30 times if they played 30 times. I have always been sort of a Power Five truther. They've got the greater athletic ability and you know, all that stuff. Yada yada yada. I have sort of come around the other direction on this over the last few years and changed my opinion, not just because of Belmont, but just in general. I like to see teams that are really, really, really good. Even if they're good on a lower level, a team that went 16-2, I just think that's more that's better entertainment in the tournament than watching a bunch of 9-9 Power Five teams. Even if I think NC State and Clemson and Indiana are better than Belmont, and maybe that's the committee's job, is to put the quote unquote best team in, I still think the tournament is better in the first couple of rounds when you have these teams that are used to winning every single night. They're 17-1 or 16-2, even if it's lower level. So I've spun around on that, and I think the committee, with all their net rankings and the RPI adjustments and all the things that have happened, I think that actually lends itself, because Belmont's strength of schedule wasn't necessarily all that good this year.
No.
So I think the committee maybe has turned a corner on looking at strength of schedule a little bit less and saying, hey, if you're a dominant team, we're going to give you a chance. And that's what they did with Belmont, and Belmont rewarded them with a win last night.
Yeah, and we talked about this, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, when Rick Bird was on the show. Derek, I think you asked the question, how difficult is it to schedule out of conference to get real resume enhancers to come and play you? They played Purdue, they played UCLA, but good teams like Belmont, the big Power Five team, like, what do they have to gain by playing Belmont? Because it's almost like a no win. If you beat them, oh, you're supposed to, and if you lose, right. You've got egg on your face.
Yeah, you don't have. There's no incentive for, say, Michigan State, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky to play Belmont, but they can lose everything if they go out there and Belmont walks away with a victory. So you're in a lose-lose situation, these big teams like that. It's like, okay, if we schedule them, then it hurts us. If we lose to them, it hurts us. Why even play them?
Middle does a really good job.
Yeah.
They somehow figure out. Now, they don't necessarily.
That's what, you know, when Kermit was there, he was able to get those teams scheduled.
And some of that's Vandy. They'll play Vandy.
Yeah.
The natural rivalry.
And it's just hard, you know. And I know, I mean, because they're good enough to dominate their league, and they're just good enough to beat a lot of the Power Five teams that are not the Dukes or the Michigan States or the Kentuckys or UNCs of the world. They can beat a UCLA. They can beat a Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They can beat, say, a Clemson or, I don't know, an LSU. A team like that, they can walk into their arena and beat them. So why schedule? Why even put our team through that? Because if we walk out of the building with a loss, then it hurts us tremendously.
Yeah, and one of you just mentioned in passing briefly Kermit Davis. Congrats to Kermit. He just got a new 4-year contract yesterday,
man,
from Ole Miss. Coach of the year.
You got to love what Kermit's doing, man.
8-9 matchup, right?
Yeah.
If they win that game against Oklahoma, they'll take on Virginia probably. So
you got to love what he's doing. He took a MTSU program, turned that program around, and, you know, He had to move up because he was just too good at a program that they wanted to reward him, but they just don't have the funds to reward him.
Good morning,
you know.
And there's
morning, Coach.
And there's a reason it took him that long to get a Power Five job again. So there's reasons for that, but he's worthy of it now, and he's earned it, and it's been a long time coming. And
you surprised Rick Bird's never moved up?
So it's fascinating you bring that up, because the one job he would have taken. The one job he would have taken it, he was waiting for the call, and never officially got the call from Tennessee. He would have taken the Tennessee job, and that's probably the only time he ever would have left Belmont, and they did not offer it to him. So
probably would have been a pretty good fit as well. All right,
I don't know. I think he's best suited at Belmont. I think it works.
Okay. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. We've got Dalen Cuff from ESPN and also from NBC Sports. Later this morning, we'll talk hoops with Rob. And I know I'm going to butcher the last name. Is it Doster?
Doster, yeah. Rob Doster.
Okay. Rob Doster. Yep. I was going to say Doster, and then I was going to get it wrong. Back after this. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game. Urgency at the perfect time. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Baseball's going on.
Yeah, I'm sure Nashville cares deeply about the 9-4 game that's going on right now.
Do you want to wish the audience a happy opening baseball day?
Huh?
Happy opening baseball day.
What? What
are you talking about? It's not really opening day because the Reds aren't playing.
What are you talking about?
At their baseball stadium.
Oh, no, he's just talking about the sport that goes on for about 40 games.
What sport is that?
Derek.
40 games too long.
Uh-huh.
Let the old white guys talk about sports for a second, okay?
Uh-huh. Sport.
Baseball.
Who?
God sport, baseball.
They're playing right now in Japan. Uh-huh. That's cool.
What?
I love early morning sporting events.
Am I wrong? Derek, I know you're not a baseball guy.
No.
But Chase, Braden, you are. For me, baseball, 2 to 3 weeks to start. I'll tune back in at Memorial Day. That's like the first checkpoint. All-Star break, Labor Day. Like, I break it down into three checkpoints.
You don't really have a choice around the All-Star game because there's literally nothing else happening in sports. Like, the day before and after the All-Star game are the two slowest days in all of sports. There's the only time where, like, nothing's happening. I check in more, like, periodically, but I do it based on pitching matchup. Like, as a Mets fan, if DeGrom's pitching, I'm going to watch DeGrom. If Syndergaard's pitching, I'm going to watch Syndergaard. If Slappy McGee's pitching, I'm probably not going to watch. So it's more about like the pitching matchup.
He's got a great sidearm, though.
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of different arm slots. You know, Slappy McGee really moves the arm up.
They're
and down.
Even bored, man. Just looking at baseball players, they're even bored.
Jason, so, are you bored by Julio Teheran making the sixth consecutive opening day start for your Atlanta Braves?
He's not a bad pitcher.
No, he is.
What?
Yeah, he's.
He's like a two or a three masquerading as an ace.
Yeah, basically. I mean, and he can't stay healthy. And just
Well, the problem is that the guy who should be your ace is not healthy.
No, he's not.
And he would be your number one and would be starting on opening day.
Mike Foltynewicz.
Man, I'm just watching this. Like,
Mike Foltynewicz.
Their face looks like man, gosh. Just we have five more innings.
Yeah. And then they look at their guaranteed contracts and they say we're fine.
Like,
is this actually
they're out there just I'm just talking about them just sitting there. It's like, man.
Why do you think baseball players dip and put bubble gum on top of their hats and do all those stupid things?
Quirky things because they ain't got nothing better to do.
They're bored as hell.
Get on Tinder.
Get on Tinder swiping.
this is an actual game. This is not just an exhibition.
Yeah, this is one of 162.
There's one tomorrow.
162.
Wow, this is an actual.
And, okay, how about this? Here, I'll make it semi-interesting.
How?
Moderately interesting.
How?
Tomorrow, a young pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, I can't even say his name.
It's not interesting now. You can't even say his name.
I think his name is Kikuchi.
Who?
That's a pretty interesting name. He is from Japan.
Kikuchi?
He's from Japan, Kikuchi. He's from Japan. I'm reading that. I'm saying that phonetically. I have no idea how to say his name. He is from Japan, and he is pitching for the Seattle Mariners.
One more time. Where is he from?
Pitching for the Seattle Mariners.
From?
In Japan, in his first ever Major League Baseball
game. Does he have a really prolonged, slow wind-up?
No, he's not Hideo
Nomo. He's from Japan, too.
Your 90s jokes are showing.
He's from Japan, and they're playing in Japan.
In Japan. That's a cool story. Seattle has got a great tradition and history of bringing Japanese players
over.
Why
is it cool?
That's a cool story.
Why?
Because he spent 10 years trying to get to the majors, and he's gotten to the majors, and now he gets to make his debut in the majors in his home country.
And
that's cool, Derek.
Who cares?
And Ichiro is.
Listen, dude.
Who cares?
Ichiro's going out.
And Ichiro's there. You played in Japan and Michigan State.
Yeah,
you thought
I did.
It was cool.
Who cares?
Derek would only care if it was Yao Ming playing for the Rockets.
You can't even get out of your own driveway in the morning.
If Yao Ming's not playing, I don't care.
Man, exactly. I miss
that
Yao Ming.
Is from
me too.
China, you idiots.
It doesn't matter. I just said he's foreign. I just don't care.
Did you ever hear the Bill Walton Yao Ming soliloquy? back when Yao Ming came over and started playing. The NBA went overseas to China for one of his games. They sent ESPN broadcasted it. Bill Walton was on the call.
Oh, my goodness.
He came back. He's on Mike and Mike, and he goes, "As I rode through the streets of China, I was amazed at this spectacle that is Yao Ming and how a nation is captivated by a 7'6" big man."
Throw it down, Yao.
He's
Throw
got bad feet, but have we ever seen this before? I don't think so.
You need to use bigger, longer adjectives.
Did he take
off
his shirt while he was saying it?
You need to use like longer, more flowery adjectives, like spectacular.
No,
you
don't
need
get
to
me
use,
wrong.
Like,
what a sensational there vacation as I wore my tie-dye t-shirt, dreaming of the days when I was a deadhead.
When I was in
shut
the,
up!
When,
keep your mouth shut!
When I was in the temple with Phil Jackson.
Oh, my goodness.
Smoking the peace pipe.
No, baseball people, I do like baseball, but listen, it's boring.
Second hour of the show, Bill Walton will stop by.
Yeah, it's boring, and I get it. I like the sport. I respect the sport, but just can't sit there and watch it. No, I'm being honest. I mean, because if you're playing over 100 games.
It's too many games.
You have to. I respect that alone.
That's a nice play there by Jerks and Profar. That's a heck of a
can we get you? Can we get you in a batting cage this summer?
Yeah,
I want to see you taking hacks at 90-mile-an-hour pitches.
I might hit it.
I did. I did
hurt
the,
my hand. That would hurt trying dude, when to connect I was, with that ball.
We all grew up probably maybe not Derek. We all probably played Little League baseball growing up or something. And when I went to Omaha the last time to cover the College World Series a couple of years ago, we got into the cages, and the machines could dial it up to 90. And if you've never tried to hit a 90-mile-an-hour pitch,
you got
to
swing before the pitch gets released.
It is insanity.
Yeah.
How hard it is. Oh, now, I think I might have foul tipped one, and I celebrated. Like I flipped a bat. I flipped a bat on like a foul tip.
Like a Manny Ramirez bat.
This is Jose Bautista.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Like I celebrated like I had just won the lottery because I barely grazed.
But if you
the
hit
cow
it,
height of the baseball.
If you hit it wrong, boy, your hands will be hurting.
Oh, especially down.
Yeah, if you hit the ball down low at the bat.
Yeah.
The lower part of the bat. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it hurts.
Hurts.
Big Same time. Way with golf. If you don't hit it in the sweet spot, your hands sting.
Yeah.
It's all about hitting it
especially
in the sweet spot.
Especially when it's like 50 to 40 degrees.
Do you think you can make contact with an 80-mile-an-hour pitch?
Probably, I don't know, probably not. I'm not going to sit here and say yes just because I'm athletic, but baseball is a...
And handsome.
It's a, yeah, and that too. But baseball, it's a skill. It's like truly a skill. You don't have to be the most athletic person. You just have to be able to connect with the ball.
And it's also...
if you can...
Yeah. It's like the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
And then recognizing and deciphering between
pitches.
Fastball versus breaking ball in a matter of 1.2 seconds.
Yeah. No, less than
it's or even less than that.
People are like, "Oh, I really picked up the spin on the ball," and I'm like, "What?
Yeah,
can't even see it.
What are you talking about? You picked up the spin on the ball. Like these professional hitters, they are. It's like being able to hit a golf ball 330 yards straight down a fairway, or a guy who can just knock down 30-foot jump shots like Steph Curry. It is just a skill set that
you're
sort of
ability.
You're sort of born with it. Like it's.
I would have to get on a plate with those huge, big bifocals.
Here's what we got to do. Chase, we got to get promotions on this. The Morning Drive needs to invade a batting cage. We all need to take practice against fastballs. And then, as we're filming the whole thing with the promotions crew, I want somebody to slip in a breaking ball while the constable is up, just so I can see Chase's knees buckle.
Why y'all doing this? Why y'all always throwing the constable
What would you do if
here?
That happened and I just smacked the you know what?
We would celebrate. We would throw. We would all go nuts. It would be a viral moment.
Yeah, yeah. We'd all jump around home plate like little kids.
One of
we
three.
Have a dog pile.
one of four things will happen. I will either hit it, which I have confidence in myself.
Ooh.
I will break my knees trying to hit it. I will foul tip it into my face somehow.
I'm going with that one.
Or I will foul tip it and hit one of you knuckleheads.
I would go with the third one. You will foul tip it and hit yourself.
Probably. Or hit myself with the bat.
Was number two a complete swing and miss, fall to your knees and fall over?
Yes.
Okay, because that's the one with the 12-6 breaking ball coming in that you just – I mean, that makes professionals buckle.
Okay, listen, I just saw a pitch. It must have been a breaking ball or something. The guy hit it, tipped it, it hit his ankle, and he's hurting now. Just imagine if that was you, Chase. Oh, my goodness. You'd have blown out both of your knees.
All right, when we come back, we will kick off hour number two with the Nashville Predators. Urgency at the perfect time. Why is it that this team gets up against the best? And are you buying back in? 615-737-1025. That's next on Morning Drive.